Good morning, church. Last week, I started my sermon off with an illustration about football, and I mentioned that I didn't really care that I missed the Super Bowl while I was in South Africa. And I know that makes me a strange American, but another thing that makes me very strange is that I love the Olympics. And I'm really looking forward to the U.S.-Canada hockey game in the afternoon. But I know that makes me different, but that's also what makes me me. But anyway, I want to talk about the illustrations that Paul and other writers of the New Testament use in terms of looking at games and winning a competition as our own struggle through life to come to the end. And so I want to look at this idea of the games, and specifically the Olympic Games, as they are coming to a close now in Vancouver. I don't know if you pay attention to the Winter Olympics, but like I said, I do. But one of the things about the Olympics is that you have athletes toiling tirelessly in hopes that maybe they might stand on that podium and receive a medal for the recognition of their labor. And also the pride that comes from representing their country and having that moment where they're not only fighting for themselves, but also for their nation. And I want you to imagine that I don't think any of us have got to that point, but imagine training your whole life, spending all your time just for, one moment. Some of the Olympians, they only get to go to one Olympics. And they get the chance to compete maybe once. Maybe, some maybe get four if they're lucky and they're in a sport that doesn't, take so much off the body. But there was a story this year at this Winter Olympics in Vancouver, and you might have heard of it, and it's about this man, a speed skater, a German speed skater named Patrick Beckert. And he was an alternate. He wasn't scheduled to race in the 1,000-meter speed skating competition. And in fact, he was the fourth alternate. And four people would have had to have dropped out in order for him to compete in the Olympics. And well, what happened was an Italian dropped out, and then an hour or so before the race, and then the Olympic committee contacted the first three alternates, and they either were busy or couldn't make it or weren't there, and so they called him. In the article that I read, this is like a 1 in 100 chance that, that he would even be possibly considered to, that they would get down to the fourth alternate. But his phone was off when they tried to call him. His cell phone was turned off, and once they finally got a hold of him, he was in a different part of Vancouver and couldn't make it to the race. Now, I want you to think about that. This man, especially speed skating. Now, speed skating is more popular in Europe than it is here. But, some of these sports that are in the Olympics, the only time they get coverage, the only time that anybody cares about speed skating is when it comes every 4 years, and not even all that many people are interested in it. And now think, you spend your entire life competing just for this, and your cell phone's off, and you miss it. You don't even get to compete. Not even the possibility of competing. But this morning we're going to talk about a prize that's much more valuable than a medal. And so many people miss it because they don't heed the call of the crown of glory. In antiquity, the Olympic Games were a really big deal. And the ancient Olympics were held every 4 years from 776 BC to 393 AD. And during the games, there was an Olympic truce that was enacted among various nations that so that athletes could travel to Olympia in safety. And the prizes that the victors got in the ancient Olympics weren't medals, but they received a crown made of olive branches. And so when we read in the New Testament talking about a wreath or a crown, this is what they're alluding to. The crown that a racer or a wrestler or somebody competing in these games would receive if they won. And so it's essentially the same as the gold medal in our modern Olympics. And I want to look at six different passages that mention this prize or this crown. And then we're going to go through and look at what does it mean to us to win this crown or win this medal as it would be in our day and age. The first is Keith read for us in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. In this verse, the Greek term prize here in verse 24 refers to a wand or a baton that was given as a prize. And then the wreath here, or in some versions says crown, refers to that crown of victory that was given in the public games, that olive branch crown. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Revelation 2 verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And then at Revelation 3 and verse 11. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. And we'll be looking at these continually through the lesson, finding out just what is this crown that we're striving for that has been promised to us. And so this morning, we'll look at what, or in our terminology today, it would be, what is this medal that we're striving for, that we're competing for? So the first thing I want to look at is the composition of the crown, or the composition of the medal. For athletes competing in the Olympic Games, it matters what the medal is made of, doesn't it? There's a lot of difference between gold and silver. There's a lot of difference between gold and bronze. They might be similar colors, but they mean so much different things depending on what the medal is made of. So when there were several verses that told us about the composition of the crown that is prepared for us. Now, the first thing, what I want to, what is the composition of our crown? The Greeks often use the expression, and this comes up, crown of such and such, to describe what it is made of. And we have this in English as well. We can use of in that term as well. And so when, for example, in Matthew, when it talks about the soldiers making Jesus a crown of thorns, that means that it was a crown made up of thorns. And so we can do this. In English, it works as well. So there are a couple things that we are told in some of those verses what our crown is composed of. First, our crown is made up of righteousness.
This came up in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a crown made up of righteousness. It is vitally important that our crown is composed of righteousness. First, because we are not righteous in and of ourselves. There's nothing good within us. Paul says of himself in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So, we need to understand the importance that we be given righteousness. The sin that we all carry prohibits us from being in the presence of God, because God is perfect and holy, and a holy God cannot dwell in the presence of sin. Therefore, Therefore, the only way that I can have a presence before God is if He bestows a crown of righteousness on me, if righteousness is imparted to me. One other thing that our crown is made out of is it's made out of life. We have a crown of life, and this comes up in two of the verses that we looked at. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. And again in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And this should be a wonderful thing to consider, that our crown is composed of life. Because death is all around us. Ever since Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden, death has been the common lot of man. However, after this life, we have the assurance of eternal life. And actually, if you would, turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is the life, and he bestows the crown of life to us, even if we die. And the other thing is that we have a crown of glory, made of glory. This comes up in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We will share in the glory of Jesus Christ. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans 8 and 17. And he's speaking of us. And if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And then turn to Colossians 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So the crown that we're striving for is a crown that is composed of righteousness, of life, of glory. The things that we were created for, that we were meant for. The thing that we should all be striving for. It's better than gold, better than silver. Another aspect that we're going to look at in the crown is the continuance of the crown. Olympic medals don't last forever. Because even if you do go to the Olympics and you manage to win a gold medal, there's another Olympics in 4 years. And you either have to defend your title or be supplanted by another athlete. And just to kind of, you know, even in the moment, how many of, you know, of the medalists, even of Americans, do you even know who won just within these past 2 weeks? Much less 4 years ago or 40 years ago. However, the crown that we're looking for, the medal that we shall receive, is one that is eternal, one that will not fade or dull, one that will not rust. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to look at, again, at verses 24 and 25. And we'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians 9, I think, the most out of those six different verses. So if you want to go ahead and mark your books there. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way so that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. We're going to receive something that doesn't perish. The righteousness and the life and the glory that we talked about, those things last forever. And everything that we experience in this life, whether it's the things that we have, the talents that we have, even if we are athletes, we can't be good athletes for our entire lives. Eventually the body wears down. Eventually we're supplanted by somebody else. Somebody else is better. Everything decays in this world, and we all, and everything perishes. But we will receive a crown that will never perish. Another aspect of this crown is the covenant of the crown. The athletes of the Olympic Games have a covenant of sorts with the International Olympic Committee. They understand that if they win, according to the rules of the IOC, that they will receive an Olympic medal. So this is the promise of, you know, glory if they're victorious. But if they don't follow the rules, then they have the chance of being disqualified, or if it's found out that they broke the rules afterwards, they can have their medals stripped from them. And actually, the Chinese gymnasts from 2008, it was pretty obvious that some of them were underage, but one of them it's been proven that she was underage. And so there's a discussion going on now as whether China will get its bronze medal that it won in 2008 stripped from it. Because they didn't follow the rules. They didn't go by according to the covenant. And just as there is a covenant among, you know, the Olympic athletes, we have entered into a covenant with God who will give us our crown. This comes up in James chapter 1 and 12, one of the verses that we looked at. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. When we enter into this covenant and we stand fast, there should be no doubt that of what we will receive in the end. We have the assurance that God will give us what he has promised us. Because God doesn't lie. God keeps his promises. So we can rest assured that the promises given by God in this covenant will be upheld as long as we stand fast with him. Another aspect of the crown is the conferrer of the crown. In both the ancient and the modern Olympics, only certain individuals could give out the medals or give out the crowns. Not just anybody can do it. In antiquity, a Greek judge would give the prize to the victors, after his name was announced by a herald. In the modern games, it has to be a member of the IOC who awards the medals. And so it is with us as well, that in the future, God himself will give us our crown. As it said in 2 Timothy 4:8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown, in Revelation 2, verse 10. But there's something different between the analogy here, between the Olympics and between what God is giving us. And that is that in the Olympics, the athlete has won their medal based upon their own effort, based upon what they have done. However, the crown that we are awarded is given to us because God won. God won the victory, and then he gives us the crown of victory. This comes up in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul again in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. God won the victory and then gave us the award. Next is the commitment of the crown. Athletes labor for years and years and years just for an opportunity to compete in the Olympics, much less even win a medal. And if we want to win the crown of life, we have to have that same kind of dedication. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 26 this time, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And then, and if you remember earlier, back in 24 and 25, he says, I need to run in such a way that I will win. And the basis by doing that is self-control. Those are points there. We need to be as self-disciplined as the athletes who run, you know, races in the Olympics and do all these various things. This comes up in Revelation 2 and 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, usually when we read this, I think we usually read until death, as if being faithful up to the point at which we die. And that's not really what this is saying. Unto death is saying up to the point of death, not staying. Not to say that it's wrong to say, you know, we do need to be faithful all through our life. But this is being faithful up to the point of even suffering death for being faithful. Jesus is basically saying here that if we are to win the crown of life, nothing can be more important to us than that crown. Even life itself must take second place to that crown. And so too, for athletes, if they want to win that Olympic medal, they have to sacrifice a lot. They have to oftentimes move away from their families and train for hours and hours and hours and follow specific diets and listen to endless rantings from their coach. And so likewise, we too must endure a lot in order to attain that crown. Jesus says to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3 and 11, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The Greek term here, hold fast, means to conquer or to control or to seize. Well, I've got seize over here. The hold fast is another version. I should have probably kept the versions the same in my notes and in the PowerPoint. Here, in the Olympics, each athlete has to watch out for themselves in case, you know, they might lose the gold medal. How many times have you seen an Olympic competition? Somebody scores a really high score, and then somewhere from behind, somebody just does so much better and seizes the gold from the apparent winner. This happened. So we need to hold tight onto what we have. We need to compete as if we are. There's only one winner. During the games, another speed skater. This is a Dutch speed skater, and this is the 10,000 meter, not the 1,000 meter. And you may have heard of this too, if you were paying attention to any of the news coming out of Vancouver. But this man's name is Sven Kramer. And during the 10,000 meters, and that's a lot of times around the course, his coach, Gerald Krimkers, seized his medal away from him. And what happened is there were 8 laps to go, and Krimkers told Kramer to change lanes during a lap that he wasn't supposed to change lanes. Well, with 10,000 meters, there's a lot of laps, so the racers, it's very easy to lose track of which lap you're supposed to change lanes on. And so Kramer crossed the finish line, or he changed at the wrong point, which ended up disqualifying him, but he didn't know until after he had crossed the finish line. And when he crossed the finish line, he began celebrating because he would have won the Olympic gold, and he would have actually set a new world record. But he didn't, and he was disqualified for an illegal lane change that his coach told him to take. If we allow it, Satan can come and seize our crown as well. If we listen to what Satan says, we can lose what may have been ours, and rightly ours. So the question I want to leave you with this morning is, are you holding fast to the crown that God has promised you? Or do you need to come back and lay a hold of it and then continue on racing as if you're the only racer? You've been promised it. It's worth much more than gold or silver or bronze. And you can have it because God's already won it for you in the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't begun the race, you can now. You can begin, become a child of God by being baptized, and then begin the race of a Christian, and then win the crown that God has promised you. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.
When the rolling gun is gone, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound.